to send someone away. I've got my back covered. Said, how you been all at a stream? Come, let's count its ups. They lead you to the race when no one's asked them to.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jeff Biggers, the American Book Award-winning author of several books of history and memoir, including The United States of Appalachia in the Sierra Madre and Reckoning at Eagle Creek, which received the Sierra Club's David Brower Award for Environmental Reporting. Raised in Tucson, Arizona, his latest book is State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream. He writes regularly for Salon and the Huffington Post and performs monologues based on his work at theaters and festivals. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeff Biggers.
Thanks for having me on.
And apropos your book about Arizona, in this so-called Gang of Eight, which are four Republicans and four Democratic senators who put forward a immigration reform plan, two of the four Republicans, Jeff Flake and John McCain, are from Arizona. So it would seem a bit of a contradiction here. Arizona has displayed a tremendous hostility towards immigrants, particularly from the South, and yet the two senators from Arizona appear to be at least a little more enlightened on the issue than their fellow Arizonans.
Right, and I think the even greater irony, too, is both Flake, but especially John McCain, made quite a turn to the right during the election campaigns, McCain in particular, in 2010, calling for an extreme buildup on the border and sort of placated the anti-immigrant vote there just to get elected. John McCain, of course, has had a very good history of being a moderate on immigration issues. And as you recall, Ian, back not quite 10 years ago, he worked with Ted Kennedy in the Senate to have an immigration bill and eventually had to throw in the towel. So McCain's return in some respects is to be expected. But I think we really have to understand they're motivated less by any sense of immigration reform and more by the political reality that they have lost the Latino vote.
Well, John McCain actually said that at the press conference when the Gang of Eight, the eight senators, announced their proposal. He was quite blunt about it, that Republicans are losing the Latino vote.
Right. And therefore, I think you have to really look at this immigration proposal and what it's calling for and try to sort some sort of fact from fiction and have a little bit of reality check. I think the first thing to really to look at is this issue of border security, that they're calling basically for a slower pathway to citizenship, definitely slower than the president wants, in order to secure the border, which is really a code word for the far right and for the anti-immigrants for a greater buildup on the border. And I think, once again, we have to be really careful and have a reality check of their approach on this kind of immigration reform.
Well, none of the senators made it clear exactly when the border would be considered secure. So if that's the first step before the pathway to citizenship, that seems to be what they're saying, that we won't, until we secure the border, you can't become citizens, speaking of the 11 million undocumented immigrants here in the United States.
Right. You know, on one hand, if we take them for their word, if we really interpret that literally, that's great because, you know, according to the Pew Hispanic Center last year, we had a net zero migration from Mexico. That, in fact, as we know, we've had the lowest apprehensions of undocumented people since the 1970s. That, in fact, crime in the borderlands has gone down for the first time in decades. And so I think, once again, if we want to take them for the word, well, yeah, the border is secure now so we can move forward. But I think, obviously, they're approaching this from the perspective, and a lot of this is a misperception of what's truly happening on the borderlands, that we somehow still have a border problem. And let's not forget, Ian, too, that we spend nearly $18 billion every year on immigration enforcement, which is more than the combined federal funds for all criminal law enforcement. That includes the FBI, the Secret Service, and so many other programs. You know, $18 billion. already on immigration enforcement, and now we're trying to add to that tally. And clearly, what's going to be a buildup of both the Border Patrol and military hardware and drones there on the border.
So, again, Jeff Biggers is the author of State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream. And we're talking about the Senate's proposal of the Gang of Eight senators, John McCain, Chuck Schumer, Lindsey Graham, Dick Durbin, Marco Rubio, Bob Menendez, Jeff Flake, and Michael Bennett, who have joined forces to offer an immigration reform ahead, of course, the president's announcement today. And when you say, Jeff Biggers, that the border really isn't an issue, is that to say that it is secure now?
I believe everybody, you know, and the facts do show that the border is secure now, or at least migration, undocumented migration, has slowed to a trickle. You know, and I think a lot of that, of course, is related more, as we've shown historically, to our economy more than a lot of these measures like Operation Gatekeeper that have been enforced. I think another issue, too, which we really have to discuss, Ian, is this issue of deportation. Here we are dealing with the Obama administration, which has had record high levels of deportation. Nearly 1.5 million immigrants have been deported under the Obama administration. And so what I'm hearing from immigrant rights advocates and border advocates is that there needs to be a moratorium on deportations and really a discussion about separations of families as the first step in any kind of immigration reform. Because I think, as we all know, now we're going to wade into this kind of legal limbo, these several months of debate and discussion and whatnot with the Congress. And in the meantime, every day you're having hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are deported.
So when does the deportation stop and the 11 million people are allowed to come out of the shadows and start the paperwork to become legal? I mean, over 50% apparently have overstayed their visas. That seems to be the most common form of illegal immigration here in the United States. So, you know, obviously, if you're one of the 11 million, you don't want to come out of the shadows until you know you're safe. And if they're still deporting people, you're not going to come out of the shadows. So I'm kind of confused.
Right. I think that's where a lot of people are really beginning to ask a lot of questions. Obviously, yesterday's proposal, combined with what the president said today, is extremely vague. And I think they essentially floated this new proposal, and they'll hammer out the final details this spring. But I think right now the vagueness of the language is really, which put a lot of concern to a lot of immigrant rights people. At the same time, I think people certainly are welcoming the language that there would be some sort of pathway to citizenship, that there would be some element of a work program for farm workers. There would be some type of employment verification system. But I think that in terms of the actual details, there's still much to be seen to see how authentic it really is going to be.
So, Jeff Biggers, when John McCain admits that they're really motivated by the fact that in this last election, the Republican Party did not attract very many Latino votes, to say the least, and way down from the 40% they got under George W. Bush, and most of what they've discussed have been sort of public relations maneuvers rather than any substantive change of heart on the part of a lot of the Tea Party constituency of the Republican Party, who are in effect, I think, motivated by racism as much as, and xenophobia as much as anything else. In the state of Arizona, where you were born and raised and about which you wrote recently in your book, State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream, that state was about the last, I think, to be counted in the election in terms of the votes because of hostility to Latino voters and voter suppression on the part of people like Sheriff Joe Arpaio. So there's got to be a lot of bitterness there in the Latino community, surely.
Bitterness is just the beginning of it. I think there's a historic distrust. I think there's definitely been what I talked about is really an ongoing cultural showdown, really over the past century. I mean, we're even going back all the way back to the 19th century when we've had these discussions over citizenship and who has the right to immigrate and who doesn't, and who has the right to call themselves an American. So I think you're perfectly true. It's that we're dealing with is an issue, and this is sort of a final showdown, this immigration bill, of something that Arizonans have particularly been dealing with for over a century because they are there in the borderlands, just like Texas and in many respects like New Mexico and California. I think the Republican Party is trying to scramble, as we all know, because of what happened in the elections, and I think there's a huge difference between giving lip service, for example, now to the deferred action for Dreamers and giving lip service to some sort of employment program for farm workers and giving lip service to some sort of citizenship pathway than truly being engaged and involved with the immigrant communities and the Latino communities in every state. So I think the Republicans certainly have a lot to learn from this situation beyond just sort of lip service to it. And I think the debate we're going to have this spring, Ian, is really going to be fascinating because I think it's going to sort of separate the wolves from the sheep, so to speak, in this immigration debate and really see where the Republican Party is. Because as we know, the Republican Party last fall, under Romney's presidential campaign, but also just under the party in general, completely embraced Arizona's largely anti-immigrant approach. And I think it's still said to be seen if they've learned from that experience to really reach back into the communities and having some really serious discussions.
But there seems to be just politically in Arizona a very reactionary element, including the author of that SB 1070 anti-immigrant bill, and along with Arpaio, the sheriff there. And I just recall we were talking about earlier, John McCain's 2010 campaign, where he's walking along the border with that sheriff with the shaved head. The pandering is disgraceful. So obviously he feels that he has to pander to those people. What are the numbers there, given the demographic reality of the emerging Latino majority or the non-white majority in this country? Is this the last gasp of white power?
Well, I think it definitely is the last gasp of sort of a racist, extremist approach. I mean, we have about 35% of the vote in Arizona came from the Latino community. I think what we know is there's a greater historic demographic shift taking place that really is going to unfold in the next 2 to 4 to 6 years. When you have 80% of the aged population is Anglo or white, and if you have 60 to 65% of the young population, those under 18, are Latino or brown, I think obviously you don't have to be a math expert to realize there's a major demographic shift that's going to be happening. The same thing that's happened in California, it's happening really across the country. And I think you're really hitting it, that this extremism that we've seen in Arizona for the past few years is a rehashing of an extremism we see almost every 20 years whenever there is some sort of political shift or a rise of a particular power on behalf of the Latinos. There's this small cadre of the Republicans who sort of have an anti-immigrant spasm and try to use that for political gain. This time around, Ian, I think we are at a hinge moment. And I think that's why you see people like McCain, who obviously is at the end of his career, and people like Jeff Flake, who now has just started as a senator, he's been a longtime member of Congress, who now are going to try to gravitate back to the center, because I think they've seen largely that this kind of extremism has been rejected in the state. At the same time, you're perfectly correct. There are people like Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Sheriff Paul Babu, who just went on to Reverend Al Sharpton's show a couple of days ago, calling President Obama a dictator because of his gun policy. And so we have still these kind of extremist elements, these larger-than-life TV characters is really what they are, who have an incredibly important role on the local level as county sheriffs. And I think until that ilk is eventually pushed out of the Republican Party, we still have a long way to go in Arizona.
Well, it would seem, though, that the Tea Party talk radio wing of the Republican Party are the problem that all Republican moderates have. And it was interesting that Marco Rubio, who's obviously angling to become the Republican nominee for president in 2016, he went on Rush Limbaugh's program to try and beat down that kind of racism, which Limbaugh, of course, has expressed any number of times. So what's your sense? I mean, just looking at these senators, this gang of eight, Schumer, I guess there's probably a Latino population in New York. Graham in South Carolina, I'm not sure about that. Dick Durbin in Illinois, there's a substantial Latino population. Rubio, of course, being a Cuban-American in Florida. Menendez, New Jersey, there's also a big Cuban population there. And Jeff Flake, Arizona, of course, we know about the enormous Latino population there. And Michael Bennett in Colorado. So to be cynical, in many ways, to me, what's going on here is the Democrats want the votes, which they've gotten so far because the Republicans have been stupid and racist and insulting. But on the other hand, the Republicans see it more as a public relations problem, and what they really want is cheap labor.
Right, right. And I think that's very important. And I think that's where a lot of these little details in this proposal, in fact, become very important, and not just little details like the employment verification system under E-Verify. That's largely been proven to be flawed and harmful to the labor market, and that's something they're trying to push through. Once again, this kind of probationary legal status. I think those little details, are very important. I think you're right. On the other hand, Ian, I think what's important about what's happening in the past 2 days with this immigration reform is that we are at least changing the narrative in the country about the role of immigrants, that there's no longer this denial of the contribution of immigrants, but recognizing that they are, in fact, part of the fabric of who we are and who they have always been, that we are a nation of immigrants. And I think just getting over that hump, as obvious it may seem to you and I and to a lot of listeners, is a nice shift just in the discussion. I've been engaged in this discussion over immigrants for so long, and it's amazing still to go into public forums to people who still deny the worth of anybody who has immigrated recently. They don't recognize the role of immigrants from every step of our lives, be it in the service industry, in the construction industry, in the high-tech industry, in the energy industry, to our daily food, to every part. And so at least changing that narrative to recognize the contributions of immigrants, I think, is extremely important and extremely valuable. I think part of that narrative, though, of the misperception of border security, the misperception of immigrants as criminals, the probationary status in that area, that's still part of the narrative that we need to struggle with and shift, especially amongst Republicans. So in many respects, I feel like what's happening is very positive, but at the same time, I'm with you that we have to be very careful that it doesn't sort of get sideswiped into just a political, very cynical political move by either party. And we both know that both parties have basically used immigrants as a political football, both pro and con, for years. And I think now, finally, we have an immigrant rights community, a very strong Latino community, who are saying we no longer want to be a political football, and we need some really substantive reform bills. And so that's what I'm hoping will happen this spring.
Well, Jeff Bickers, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Jeff Bickers, the American Book Award-winning author of several books of history and memoir, including The United States of Appalachia, In the Sierra Madre, and Reckoning at Eagle Creek. He is raised in Tucson, Arizona, and his latest book is State Out of the Union, Arizona and the Final Showdown Over the American Dream. He writes regularly for Salon and Huffington Post and performs monologues based on his work at theaters and festivals. We're going to take a brief station break and be joined in the studio by the filmmakers of a documentary about Tahrir Square, The Square.